Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, before we get into this podcast, the midweek domestic podcast, MWDP, although Mark Smith has tweeted it to at Rugby Podcast and said, why not call the midweek domestic rugby podcast Dommers and the Six Nation one Inters for international podcast. Picking up on the whole sippers, banners. Oh, by the way, Todger for Marowi Todgy. Todger hasn't kicked off yet.
Not quite.
Not yet.
Yeah, not made it
hasn't
yet.
Hasn't ignited.
Not yet.
Maybe it will. Maybe it will. But anyway, let's get into this then. Hands in, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
You lucky, lucky rugby fan. This is the second Egg Chasers rugby podcast of the week. This one focusing on domestic rugby. That doesn't mean it's English rugby. We're talking Pro 12, we're talking Aviva Premiership, we're talking Super Rugby, and we'll be mopping up some other areas that we haven't touched upon as well. As ever, you can get in touch with us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. You can listen on Acast, where you can subscribe. You can also subscribe on iTunes. And if you like the podcast and if you appreciate what myself, JB, hello JB.
Hello, Tim.
And Phil, hello. If you appreciate what we do.
Hi, Tim.
Then take a moment to just leave us a rating and a review on iTunes, and that'd be massively appreciated. So, domestic rugby then. But let's just take stock of the Six Nations podcast yesterday. A lot of praise and a lot of for your game, JB.
You know.
Which, if you haven't heard it, was Nazi war criminal or Springbok?
Springbok or Nazi war criminal?
Springbok or Nazi war criminal?
Yeah, that game you just mentioned is completely different.
Right,
it's completely different.
I'm actually amazed it made the cut. It didn't get edited out.
Fingers crossed. Did it make it? Yes, it did.
Well, I was inspired by that one, so I'm going to kick us off with a very quick game. I was inspired, and you know,
is it South American dictator or Puma?
No.
Okay.
Well, because we're going to America for the Aviva Premiership game. Between London Irish and Saracens on March the 12th. We're going out there for a few days. And if you're out there, get in touch with us on Twitter. We're trying to organise a bit of a session for the Six Nations games while we're out there. But anyway, so I've got US band or US eagle.
Oh, wow. I knew nothing about bands, so let's have a go.
Well, let's see how much you know about American rugby players then. So these are guys in the American international rugby squad or their bands from America. First one. Rilo Kiley.
Rilo Kiley.
US band, US eagle.
Eagle.
That is wrong. It's an LA-based indie rock band.
Of course it is.
Yeah, I've heard them on the radio as well. They're not like complete unknowns, those ones.
They are to me and Jay, clearly.
Most bands are unknown to me, to be fair.
D'Amicus Beach.
Sorry?
D'Amicus Beach.
D'Amicus Beach. D'Amicus is a band.
D'Amicus Beach.
I am also going to say it's a band.
D'Amicus Beach started against Brazil.
Oh, no!
He's a 28-year-old prop. Plays at Life University.
Life University. That's in Georgia.
There you go. Aladdin Shermer.
Aladdin Shermer is definitely a rugby player. I have no two ways about there's no two ways about it.
Okay, I'm going to go band.
Okay, Aladdin Shermer, if you said US Eagle. He's an he got his first cap, I believe, against Brazil as well.
I was going to say, if you said uncapped, that means I'm wrong.
Flanker playing for Central Washington Wildcats.
Have that. Central Washington Wildcats?
And
now they, I wouldn't be surprised if they're linked with Seattle Saracens.
Well, we'll look into that as well. And Cam Falcon.
Now, I know there's a rugby player called Cam Dolan. Falcon.
Cam Falcon.
I'm going to say it's a band.
I'm going to say it's a rugby player.
If you said it's a rugby player...
Yes!
JB has won...
One-way traffic.
Phil beat me in the Springbok or Nazi War Criminal, and JB has beaten Phil in US Band or US Eagles. So
JB is a legend.
All right, then, we better get onto some domestic rugby then, hadn't we?
Indeed.
Do you know where I want to start? Where I think we should start?
London
Pro,
Irish.
Pro 12.
No, I think...
Not London Irish.
Not London Irish. How about the thing that's new in our life this week? Let's go down under, mate. Let's go check out some Super Rugby, guys. How good is it to have some Super Rugby back in our life? Now, for this, we have to go up at the end of every sentence when we're talking, like we're asking a question.
Why?
No, because that's just what they do in Australia, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
Why?
I know.
Oh, I see. I know.
It's great.
It's good to have it back in our life, isn't it?
It's weird. It's a completely different competition, I feel, than to last year. For one, all the New Zealand teams, I mean, there's something very odd about watching Crusaders with no Dan Carter and no Richie McCaw.
Ruchi.
Very, very odd. And also the other thing I'd say is last year it felt like it was a facilitator to warm up the international teams for the World Cup. This year it feels like someone wants to actually win the Super Rugby.
I didn't get that feeling, particularly from... say Highlanders and the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes last season were absolutely incredible.
How many players have they lost?
Just the two centres, but those centres are so instrumental.
Yeah, two centres is the core of your backline.
Yeah, and the Hurricanes were well and truly pumped by the Brumbies.
They were.
Who look sensational.
They do. Well, they look sensational in that kit as well. Can I just... So, I was taking the mick out of Super Rugby Stash, and I remember, go back 10, 15 years, and Super Rugby used to have infinitely better stash than the Northern Hemisphere sides. And then they really went wayward and had some horrible kits. Now, I think there's a mixture. There's some really bad kits, but there are some beauties.
Well, OK, I've thought about this long and hard for Super Rugby. And the Super Rugby stash roughly represents the character of the nation that is wearing it. So all of the New Zealand stuff is relatively cool, very bro style, you know, you know, bouncer handshakes, that sort of thing.
Looks good with the Maori tats.
Just
poking out the top.
But also, it's a little bit cool, like some of those lads are with the stupid hindsight haircuts and all the rest of it. You can actually flip that around and say, look at the South African stash, which for the most part is horrific.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like eye-wateringly terrible. And then there's the new Japanese stash, which is very, like, you know, anime.
Let's talk those Aussie boys. They've got some good kits.
They have.
I've always liked the Waratahs kit. I think the Waratahs kit is one of the all-time classic kits, and they don't mess around with it either.
Waratahs and Brumbies are great.
However, there's one kit, and we should lead this nicely onto talking about this game, the Jags.
Yes,
oh, the Jags.
Best kit by far.
If there is somebody listening from Nike.
Yeah.
Hello.
Bravo.
Hello.
Again, and isn't that just so classic of some stylish Latino men to come up with that?
International playboys.
Exactly. Yeah.
Damn, they look good, and damn, they play good. They're the real deal.
The sort of playboys that would shoot their iPod to turn it off.
That was one hell of a game, wasn't it?
What a game.
Cheetahs, Jags.
Well, I'll tell you a very, very quick story, and I don't like to talk about me, but I'll make it just this once. As the Jags had two men in the bin and conceded their third try, I put on a £10 bet. 50 quid return. Thank you very much.
What, bet? You're betting on them to win?
Yeah.
That 2 minute period before their winning try, breathless, incredible rugby, offloads, incredible running lines. And I'm not saying it will win a Six Nations tournament, and we've talked on the Six Nations podcast about about the caginess of a lot of the rugby there. I'm just celebrating what was incredible skills, bravery to do that when the game is...
Well, it's
as
lost.
It, as it was lost.
It'd be interesting to see if they do that in a tight game, I guess.
Yeah, because after 25 minutes, there were 4 tries to nil down.
Yeah, what?
No, but they did it to get the score that put them in front.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But they also
did it all the way back. Yeah.
But they also actually got back into the game with 2 driving mauls. Well, actually, you are right, because it's a driving maul. Creevy comes off the back and then offloads it on the line to the little scrum off.
Beautiful.
Who is some player? Yeah. He really is.
Yeah.
This current starting Argentinian international scrum half, Thomas Cubelli, scored a try for the Brumbies on his debut for the Brumbies.
Oh, did
his
he?
Debut.
So he's not the starting. I can tell you his name is.
He was superb.
Before we leave the Super Rugby as well, while Phil's just getting that name, before we leave the Super Rugby, I think, what would you say? Because I saw a lot of messages and stuff, people in the Southern Hemisphere who are watching that going, there you go, have that in your boring Maul Fest, Scrum Fest, Six Nations tournament, have that. Was it a better product to watch?
It's better to watch. It's better to watch. But you've got to remember the stage of the tournament that we're at. The Six Nations, there's 5 games to win an international tournament.
Yeah.
This is the first game of a 20-round tournament where... the stakes are nowhere near as high.
Nope.
So they can throw it around a lot more.
Yeah, and also varying quality as well. I mean, I targeted the Cheetahs, who I don't think are a high-quality team whatsoever. So you've got some South African teams which are fairly rubbish. You've got a lot of New Zealand teams which do play... Well, they're embedded to play nice rugby. But a lot of their stars have gone. It'll be interesting to see how it all pans out. Yeah. I think it's good, but maybe defences aren't quite stingy enough.
Right, before we leave the Super Rugby then, this is a little clip I want to play, which I thought was really great. And this is a young referee during the Waratahs-Reds game, and which Waratahs looked great in.
80th game of Super Rugby.
And the scrum goes down, and just listen to the ref. I just love this.
Front rows. Now the referee is getting frustrated with these front rows. Yep. Boys. I'm going to give you a pretty simple message, guys. People haven't come here to watch scrum resets, all right? And I'm not going to consistently continue to blow this up tonight, okay? We had a number of offences, guys pre-engaging, guys not holding their body weight, guys sort it out. Otherwise, I'm just going to get new props on who can do it properly, okay? You understand? Okay.
I love that.
I like that.
I really like that. I really like that. Although he has so many questions.
I do question how much these refs actually know about scrummaging. That's the only thing. And some of them wear
all
it
the more reason to just get on with it and have just restart the game.
But some of them wear it as a badge of honour, right? That, I'll just restart it. When actually it could be one prop cheating, the other prop doing everything right, and
exactly.
They just don't know.
It's just,
Well, that does kind of lead into some of the law variations that are being trialled in Super Rugby at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of them which I do really like at scrum time.
Go on, what are they?
So, very simply, the scrum half can't go past the opposition flanker.
Okay.
So when the defending team scrum half can't pass the opposition's flanker, which means that the attacking team get cleaner ball from their 8 or their scrum half.
Mm-hmm. And if you've got a scrum half with proper gas, you can try and have a go at getting outside the flanker. The open side flanker.
Or it just means your backs get good clean ball.
Cleaner ball, yeah.
The other one is if the scrums collapse with the ball at the 8's feet, you can play.
Yep. That's not,
you don't
that's
not have bad. To reset. That is, I think that's a great law.
See, I always thought that was the case anyway.
No, the referees sometimes let them play when they are fed up. A couple of other ones. Wheeled scrum is no longer a turnover, so there's no incentive to rotate the scrum.
Interesting. But I'm trying to think, why was the law there to start with? What does that law promote?
I don't know. I'm exactly. Sure. Well, the fact we're even asking that question probably says that actually that one might last, that one might stick around.
The other two, rolling maul, the ball's got to be passed to the back, which I quite like.
I don't like that at all.
Rather than the man who takes the ball just shuffling backwards and everyone else go in front of him. I wasn't too sure, but when I actually saw them using it, they're very well coordinated, very well drilled, and it worked very well.
Well, that's how people used to do it, just pass it back. It's not a big deal. I mean,
it's not, but it's just a little clarification. Yeah. And then the point system for bonus points has changed.
Same as France.
In line with France, yes. So to get you don't get a 4-try bonus point anymore, you get a bonus point for winning by 3 clear scores. Now, there's arguments on both sides. One says it will keep both teams playing for the full 80 minutes rather than get four or five tries ahead and take your best players off and kill the game.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of the argument is that it's going to drive defence more than attack because you only need to score three and then you just kill the game off.
Well, we'll see how that one plays out.
Mm.
Nice one. Well, let's go from Southern Hemisphere back up to the North. And do you know what? I think there's one team that deserves to be mentioned above anyone else in any of the competitions in the Northern Hemisphere. And, well, in club rugby, domestic rugby. Connacht.
Hang on, are we talking Pro 12?
Yeah, we're talking Pro 12, JB.
Well, why didn't you tell me?
This is a presentation from the world's most explosive league. The creators of Dragons 13, Zebra Nil. Starring Rory Pittman, Scott Andrews, and Luke Burgess, the other one. And definitely not featuring Aroni, Celtic Warriors, or Border Reavers. This is the Pro 12 Report.
Yeah, don't worry, Aviva Premiership fans, we'll be getting to that. But let's just focus, shine the light on Connacht at the moment, because they are defying the odds. They are having a stellar season. They find themselves top of the Pro 12. And they are, and it was brilliantly described on Twitter when someone got in touch with us at Rugby Podcast and said, you better focus on Connacht a little bit on this podcast because they are the Leicester City of rugby right now.
Hmm.
There is a really exciting story unfolding on the west coast of Ireland.
There is? Okay. So I've had a think about this, and I've come to the conclusion that Connacht are the only real club in all of the Pro 12. The rest of them are either rubbish or they're incredibly arrogant. Now, what I mean by that is you've got the Irish provinces who think they're in, and the Welsh provinces, too, in fact, and the Scottish provinces, who just think they're entitled to every international player who plays for Ireland, Scotland or Wales. Connacht are just ignored and they're left to their own devices. In fact, they even get their own internationals taken away from them to go to the arrogant likes of Leinster, who aren't even that good.
Well, they're below Connacht at the moment.
Exactly.
They're not as good as Connacht.
Except for Connacht, all the other clubs are basically spoilt brats who are told exactly how good they are and they are not good at anything.
What I like about the way Connacht are going about their business is, yes, that they're a good underdog story and everyone likes an underdog, but Dara Ruddy tweeted us at Rugby Podcast and said, and this is a good fact for you, Phil, you'll like this one, Connacht have scored 8 more tries than the next best in Leinster in the Pro 12, but they only have half the points difference. In other words, they're just going, yeah, you score 4, we'll score 5.
Yeah.
Kind of mentality. Mm.
And now, this isn't a recipe for success. I warn you about that.
They've scored almost 50 points more than any other team in the league.
But they've conceded a few.
But they've conceded not as many as some of the bottom teams, but they're not far off, actually.
Yeah, that's a problem. They probably want to address that at some point.
Yeah,
I know. Why don't they let a massive part of their backline defensive captain and also attacking threat, Robbie Henshaw, why don't you let him go to Leinster?
Why don't they let their prop go to Ulster?
Yeah. So there you go. They're doing it against the odds, so they deserve some credit. So well done, Connacht.
Yeah, definitely. And the Ospreys team is a fairly handy team. They're missing a few internationals, but they still had a few internationals, like Reece Webb was playing for them, Paul James.
And arguably, do you think Dan Bigger's going to take Connacht seriously? No. So it's harder to play against Sam Davis in that situation.
Definitely.
Than it is against Dan Bigger. Mm.
Definitely.
Anything else from the Pro 12 that you would want to discuss? That's definitely the big story, is just the... You get, much like with Leicester City in the football, you keep just expecting to look at the results and see the wheels start to fall off.
Treviso narrowly lost to Munster at home and Zebre comfortably lost to Leinster.
Yeah.
The only other score, I don't really want to mention it, but Cardiff did beat Ulster.
Not very pride.
No.
Oh, Ulster, so it's not...
No, lost the last two and slipped from first to fourth in 2 weeks.
I know.
So Ulster are going to be mega next year. I assume the PSLs come as a package, do they?
We don't really need the centre one.
Yes, you do. No, you don't.
We don't need a sixth international centre. What are we going to do with them all?
I've got no idea. It is ludicrous that you can have so much talent.
It is ludicrous. But Charles will be a very welcome addition.
Mm.
Mm.
All right, well, so we'll move back across the Irish Sea and across the border of Wales and Scotland into England in the Aviva Premiership. Now, one observation I've made as I was watching the rugby this weekend, and see what you think, is that with no LV Cup, I was thinking, oh, well, that's great on the one hand, because, you know, it's not a very exciting tournament to watch. However, the one thing the LV Cup has got a proven record of doing is being an outlet for young players to get first team experience. Mm. And without that, I was anticipating that maybe there'd be a lot of guys just itching to get in the team, not getting a shout. But the number of young guys who are standing up and doing great things for their club, I think it's great this year. And a couple of good examples in the Northampton Saints game, Harry Malinder seems to be a really crucial part of the resurgence of Northampton, actually. Him and Burrell as a partnership in midfield is doing some good stuff at the moment.
Malinder is a real class player.
He's and small and though. I mean, he's tall, but he looks small.
He's tall and slight, but he's strong. He's very fast, deceptively fast.
Like a wood elf or something, very slender.
He's played for Northampton 10, 12, 13 and 15.
It feels like every time he plays, he does something. Like, I've not watched much Northampton this year because they've not been on TV as much as they have previously. But every time you watch him on the highlights, he's got a try or he's done something.
And like I say, him and Burrell have seemed to have formed a really good partnership in midfield. And as disjointed as Northampton have been, they've sort of haven't been able to connect their pack with the backs. There's now a bit more fluency, and I think Harry Malland has got a lot to do with that. And then out wide, a hat-trick for Tom Collins.
Yes, who is a former LV Cup Breakthrough Player of the Year.
And a former member of our Booze 15 that we did.
Oh, of course, yes.
So, some good things there. And there's been other young players. You know, it was in the Sale Sharks game, Sam James showed up really well again. He's having an amazing season.
He is some player. Yeah. I mean, like, he doesn't fit. He's kind of, when he first came on the scene, he'd do things like bundle over for a try. He'd always make an impact without having a good game. Now he has a bit more consistency, although he did throw away a horrible, wasn't quite an interception, but as good as an interception.
Yeah.
But that game was brilliant.
It really was.
Sale 36 all.
It was like Sale were playing sevens in that first 15 minutes when they went 17-0 up. They were offloading everything. The support lines were brilliant. Everything was going to hands and they're just tearing Saracens to bits.
Yeah, so with Sale, they've done two things which they don't do often. Concede a lot and score a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and against a damn good team.
Once again, 50%. I mean, Danny Cipriani's kicking's improved from the last few weeks. He's up to 50%. But even so, he did a lot of good attacking things, and you could say, well, they wouldn't have got 36 points if it wasn't for Danny Cipriani.
No, they wouldn't.
And I agree with that.
Yeah.
But again, you just go, how many games are you going to look back on Sale this season and go, we'd have been top four had we had Danny Cipriani kicking at a normal percentage for the Premiership.
But they could just get someone else to kick. That would be the easier option. I mean, when he goes to Wasps, it'll be great because they'll get Alec Daly to kick.
Well, he only does the long range kicks. He doesn't do every kick.
I love that. No, I'd hate to be the player saddled with just the long range kicks.
Well, that's how Chris Patterson for Scotland got
exactly.
Like a world record number of conversions. He only takes the ones in front of the post.
Yeah. 10 metres either side and 20 yards back. That's it. Otherwise, it was, what was the 10 called? The Australian 10.
Oh.
Dan Parks. He was all the difficult ones. Dan Parks was running at like 15% accuracy.
Dan Parks probably is probably minus about £200,000 worth of career earnings just because his like stats and what Patterson did to him.
But Sippers did have a chance to win the game.
Yeah.
Arscott scored with the last play of the game and he had a relatively easy on the correct side.
And JB, you put £10 on the Jaguars to come back when they were down two guys and down points. You would have put a lot more money than a tenner on Danny Cipriani getting that kick.
Not sure he would.
Not prior to his last half a dozen games, I'd say.
No,
traditionally you would have done because it was a relatively easy kick for
and
a
And I would
have
put a lot of money on Saracens winning that game. Yeah, Sale did very, very well.
That was the one that let me down on my accumulation.
Do you know that
I think you need to temper that with, it was a very, very good Saracens, but it was a Saracens without five of their best forwards.
Yeah.
Their frontline forwards away at Sale and also, you know, missing a couple of backs.
I do wonder
well.
If yeah. teams have kind of figured out the Saracens' style, and that's why we're getting this stream of results.
No, I'm saying they drew Sale are unbeaten
at home,
this season, and that stayed intact
because they're good.
Well, because yeah, they are very good, especially at home. And Saracens, shorn of, I mean, not just a few players. Maka Vunipola and Billy Vunipola, their biggest go-forward threats. George Cruz and Maro Itoje, two best performing second rows in England this year.
Yeah, yes. There are some big losses, no doubt about that.
Don't you worry about Saracens. After the Six Nations, they will come.
Business as usual.
And they're still, in my book, odds-on favourite to win the league this year.
If you're Steve Diamond, do you just sign that whole back line to an extension? Pretty much. Oh, sorry, all the young lads. Sam James, Haley, definitely.
Absolutely. 100%.
Addison.
Well, they have. They've already signed Haley and Addison.
And they've got James.
Re-sign them.
And another guy, not so young, has signed another one-year deal.
Tuitupu? Liotta?
No, more important than both of them.
Arscott?
Way more important.
Oh, Stringer!
Peter Stringer, one more year.
Yes.
Four more years. Again, four more years.
Four more years.
Just give him 1 year at a time.
I've had a think about this, and I think if you've over a certain number of caps and a certain age, you're not allowed to retire until a panel of experts allows you to retire. Because we've had Johnny Wilkinson retire after winning a European Cup. Well, that didn't need to happen.
Yeah.
Peter Stringer could retire. Luckily, he's not. Andy Goode retired, then came back. You've got Jack Berger at the height of his powers.
I don't mind retiring from rugby so much, but I've talked about it before. I don't like the principle of retiring from international rugby. I think it should be like, if your country calls, it's your duty to answer your country's call.
Unless you retire so you can play for my imaginary Barbarians team, which would be entered into every World Cup.
Well, there is always that.
But you've got to be over 35 to play for them, I think.
There is always that. Yeah, the Sale Saracens game was... I mean, Sale will be kicking themselves that they didn't put him away.
Yes, going 17-0 up. At home, you'd like to think you can close that kind of game.
And the tries they conceded, two interceptions.
Oh, I mean, we've been talking about Sam James having a great season. He had a couple of howlers.
Didn't he just? Did he give away both interceptions?
Yeah.
Oh, no. And Wiles might have been in touch. I don't think he was. Steve Diamond thinks he is, so that's good enough for me.
it was a hell of a finish, that, from
wasn't
Wiles.
Wasn't it?
I thought, at full speed, I thought he was definitely in touch. But the videotape was inconclusive.
There were some big scores this week in the Premiership. Gloucester racked up chunk of scores against Newcastle.
Now, is Billy Meeks, does he look like a young man in a boy band, or does he look like an old farmer?
I think Gloucester would have quite a good boy band.
But look at his hair.
Just in that squad.
Look at his hair. It's very recedy, but he's got quite a nice face.
Do you not think he looks a bit like Ari Gold from Entourage?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Dana fucking Gordon. I haven't watched that in a long time.
I love Entourage.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Such a guilty pleasure.
It is a guilty pleasure. I was going to say it's brilliant. It's also terrible and brilliant.
Yes,
all
exactly
about
that.
Johnny drama.
Yeah,
that's great.
But for Gloucester, 12 Trees and Hooker actually playing some very nice rugby at the moment. Mm. We've had some criticism in the past, but
if you look at the string,
good.
And they've certainly strung together.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quite a few results now, so
yeah.
Unlike London Irish.
Oh my word!
Yes,
I think Tom. It's easy to say this now. I can't help but thinking, has Tom Coventry been chucked in a little bit too much at the deep end? Just think, he's got no experience of the Aviva Premiership.
Well, I mean,
he's got no experience of being the main man, head honcho. And it appears like he's just been handed the reins. And was that slightly naive by chief exec Bob Casey not to sort of nurture him into it a little bit more?
I mean, how long has Bob Casey been a chief exec for?
Not long.
There again, you talk about Saracens losing two dominant second row. London Irish have lost the most dominant second row. So, you know, it's not surprising that they're struggling.
Which one's that?
The most dominant one, who's in America.
As we speak.
Oh, right. Oh, Nick Rouse, yeah. Yeah, good player.
Talented.
Good player.
Talented Nick Rouse.
Skivington's also sidelined.
I thought Skivington was playing last week.
No, he's
Is he injured again?
He's a body rack. He hardly plays. He's hardly played in the last 3 years. He must be costing him a bit.
I was going to say, there's quite a bit of money going into that contract, I'd imagine.
Well, yeah, they've got big problems. So, if you were Tom Coventry, if you were London Irish, what result would you want on Friday night when Newcastle play Worcester?
Draw. Low scoring draw.
No, I'd say Newcastle win.
I think a Newcastle win as well.
Because Newcastle are ahead, aren't they? Newcastle are third from bottom.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. You just let them go adrift and you want to keep...
Yeah, an Irish v Worcester at the end of March is going to be a massive game.
But do you know what? I think Worcester are more capable of scoring points than Newcastle. And I actually think that you'll... No, I think they want to try and catch Newcastle, not Worcester. I think Worcester will accumulate more bonus points.
I actually think Newcastle is a more difficult place to go to.
Partly
because of the distance, yep. Partly because of the weather conditions up there.
And the plastic pitch.
Whereas
that's
Worcester,
a weird combination, though, isn't it?
Worcester is very centrally located for a lot of the teams, isn't it?
But they're a better team.
Are they?
Yeah, Hugard.
I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah. Dowson. I mean,
Newcastle until the weekend, they were on an amazing run of form.
So, in the way that we like to do quite often,
especially at home.
If you just said yes. Starting 15 against starting 15, I think you'd probably go with the majority of Worcester players.
Do you want to hear London Irish's fixtures? They've got 8 games in the Aviva Premiership left.
There are no easy games in the Aviva.
And I'll rattle through this. We won't do a big discussion about this. Bath away.
Maybe.
Saracens at home.
Lost. Ooh.
Gloucester at home.
Lost.
Worcester away. Massive.
Maybe.
Sale at home.
Maybe.
They've got a good record against them in recent seasons.
Yeah.
Newcastle away.
Win.
Win for Newcastle.
Harlequins at home. Wasps away. So they've got Worcester and Newcastle away.
That's get lucky with Wasps preparing for a European Cup final or something. That's the only thing I can really think of.
I don't know. And
it looks like they'll be playing Quins when they've got all their players back.
They've also got a game against Quins in the Challenge Cup.
Sale at home, they can potentially get something out of that.
Challenge Cup? What Challenge Cup?
They're in the Challenge Cup.
Huh?
Quarterfinals.
Oh, sorry, European. I thought you meant
European Challenge Cup. Yeah.
It's not the Rugby League Challenge Cup.
Yeah. What? This is unheard of.
Invitational team.
But with that, should we just sweep into looking at the fixtures this weekend in all the various competitions?
Fire away.
Well, Super Rugby, I think we should let the dust settle a little bit more before we go into, you know, picking out.
I have no idea who would win. I haven't had
a chance to see every team play. I watched some of the rugby at the weekend, but I think before we can start talking in any sort of educated fashion, we need to know.
Yeah, if you asked me who's going to win out of Crusaders and Hurricanes, I'd be talking about the impact that Martins would have on the game. Mertens would have on the game, and Christian Cullen. I mean, it'd be all historical.
Is there any other signings, by the way, Phil, that have happened for clubs?
Oh, there's been a couple.
Before we get into that.
Leicester have re-signed three of their players, three of their young lads. But they've also signed three players today.
Who have they signed?
They've signed Tom Brady, confirmed from Sale.
As you heard on the podcast.
Yes, as you heard a few weeks ago on
Not
the podcast.
Not from Neil Fistler, or whatever his name is.
No, we're...
Neil Fister.
he gets very, very defensive if anyone else but him gets to break a story, but it happens. Deal with it.
George McGuigan from Newcastle, the
good
hooker.
Good signing, I like that.
Who?
Because we were talking about Harry Thacker being a talented player, however, he's quite lightweight.
Yes.
And when Tom Youngs isn't available, McGuigan is a beefy
big
fella.
Big boy, he's 22.
Yeah.
Newcastle are... it seems a bit upset about this because they've got brought him up through the academy system.
Yeah.
So they're a bit disappointed that he might be going to play second or third choice at Leicester.
I do get that.
I'm very annoyed that Brady's gone.
And the other one announced was Pat Sillyers.
Well, hold on. Just going to Brady's not being played by Sale this year.
Yeah. He's not starting. It's Nevin Addison, really.
True. But he's still a young guy.
You're just worried about him replacing Miles Benjamin, aren't you?
Well, it's a couple of, okay.
Don't worry.
I'll come clean.
Peterson has already come in and done that.
I'll come clean. Firstly, I've got a sale Tom Brady shirt. So that's completely redundant, though.
Or it's now more valuable because it's an antique.
Limited edition.
Yeah. Well, it's on an Avian Lewis Roberts shirt. So it's one of Avian's old shirts, but with Brady on the back.
So it's a 5XL, 6XL?
It's a big shirt.
Sorry, what was the Cilliers you said?
Cilliers, Pat Cilliers. Yeah. Former Stormers, former South African prop, who's been at Montpellier for the last couple of years.
Mm, so he'll be big, if nothing else.
Yes. So that's an interesting signing.
Mm. You see, Tom Brady, it wasn't so long ago, he was being talked about as a potential England Saxon.
Yeah.
And he's very similar to, and I quite like this about what's happening recently, is smaller guys showing up really well. Guys like James Short.
Oh, James Short.
And guys like Jamie Elliott.
And Jack Nold.
Size on him now.
Oh, did you see James Short's try, pre-season, which wasn't a try? Well, he gave it to someone else.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my word, that boy's playing
gorgeous.
Well.
That was awesome.
Yeah, he's having a great season.
He really is.
And there's a lot of guys that have got this. And Tom Brady is one of those. And everyone's played with one. I bet you were one when you were a player, Phil. You know, diminutive, but finisher. Just managed to.
He's not a finisher.
No, you're not a finisher.
Fell over.
I could finish occasionally. I was more of a defensive winger or fullback.
Sick. But Tom Brady, having watched Sale Sharks for many years, I can tell you he's one of those guys that just he just has that knack of finishing.
Yeah,
I think he's very much a confidence player, and I don't know if he'll get enough rugby at Leicester to really show.
No, I don't think he will. I don't think he will. I think he'll be propping up their LV Cup team next year. One more signing.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
From the Pro 12, Glasgow Warriors have signed a former All Black.
Okay, who would this be?
Who has been playing in France?
What's his name? The old scrum half.
Baron Kelleher?
No.
Justin Marsh. Oh, Piriwipu.
Piriwipu.
No.
Because he's playing like 4th, 5th division in France.
He was at Oyonnax, but didn't he got dropped from Oyonnax?
He's like in tier 5 in France or something like that.
Give us
found
his level.
Position.
Hooker.
The guy from Toulouse.
It is the guy from Toulouse.
Whose name escapes me. Corey. No.
Yes.
Corey.
Yes.
Glynn? No.
Corey Flynn.
Flynn.
Corey Flynn.
Oh, yes.
Good.
Which would be a solid sign. He is 35. And a huge amount of experience.
Yeah, massive.
Huge amount of experience.
That's really important. So, yeah, good. I like that.
Yeah, strong signing.
Strong signing. And let's get on to the fixtures coming up then. Starting with the Friday night match, huge game, Newcastle Falcons against Worcester. I'll be working for BT Sport doing the reporting on this one.
Ah, very nice. Good game to do.
Yeah, first experience of... I've had a chat with Dean Ryan a couple of times. Never,
your hero.
Never interviewed him in an official capacity, so I'm looking forward to that. And Dean Richards
Hang on, so have you phoned him up in the past on an official interview?
No, I've just been in the press room at Sale Sharks when I was the announcer there and just sort of, you know, I had a natter with him. And he's very friendly, approachable, nice guy.
Can you get the insider scoop on the Worcester Academy relaxation rooms, please, Tim? I'm dying to know exactly what goes on in there.
We'll see.
I think Newcastle by a score.
I would say Worcester.
Wow, good call, brave call. On Friday night there's some Guinness Pro 12 matches as well. Scarlets playing Treviso.
Big win for Scarlets.
Yes. Edinburgh Connacht. Interesting. I'm going to go with the underdogs. I'm going to go with the Leicester City of the rugby world, Connacht.
I have no idea who plays for Edinburgh. Quite like Connacht. Why not?
Connacht. Give me Connacht.
And the pride, Ulsterman, home to Zebre. Ulster need a win.
On our current form, this could go either way.
On your current form, you'll batter them. On your worst form, you'll batter them. On your best form, you'll batter them.
We lost to Zebre last year.
It won't happen again. No, they're named after a horse, you'll be fine. A passive horse which you can't even ride.
Oh, by the way, Friday morning there's two, one all New Zealand and one all Australian Super Rugby match, 6:35 a.m. Friday morning, so maybe have breakfast and a coffee, get up early, watch Crusaders Blues.
Will do.
And if you're allowed to, you know, watch it in the office, Brumbies Waratahs on your phone.
I will not be doing that.
A quick question. You mentioned Blues. A player they had who's gone to France is linked to a Premiership club, Stephen Brett. Has he actually signed for anyone yet?
Stephen Brett?
No, he's been loosely linked, I've seen, with Sale.
Yeah.
Not
a bad player, though.
He's okay.
He's all right.
Been around France for a few years and never done anything special.
Saturday, then. Sale Sharks host Harlequins. Quite an intriguing matchup, this one.
Yeah.
Sale.
Definitely
Sale at home.
I'm going to go
Sale
at home as well.
It might be quite an exciting game.
Yeah, I would. If Sale show up and play like they did.
I'll tell you what, though. There were sparks from Harlequins. I mean, they're good hiding by Wasps. But, you know, what's his name, the winger?
Walker
looked pretty sharp.
Oh, that try-saving tackle from Christian Wade.
That was wonderful.
Was incredible. Mm. Walker skinned him, and then he just got back and kind of lifted him into touch as he tried to dot the ball down.
Wade just has ridiculous gas, so just good to see him as well, which we will see. So we're all going for Sale Sharks at home in that one.
Yes.
And we will see Christian Wade on the wing, I expect, playing for Wasps away at Gloucester, though, resurgent Gloucester and a resurgent Wasps. Now, the two form teams, really.
If I was Gloucester, I'd start now, and I would basically be flooding that pitch. I'd be watering it every day.
But that Wasps pack is good.
And if you want someone who's
going to they are heavyweight, but they're runners. You know, I don't think they want to be stuck in like an arm wrestle. They want to be running off 10, running off 9.
Running off 10 and offloading.
Yeah.
Yeah, playing.
But then again, that will mean if it's bad conditions, you will want a fly half who's really dependable and who will put you in the right area of the pitch. James Hook is either sublime or ridiculous. I think this one's really tough to call.
I'm going to say Wasps.
I'm going to say Wasps. Even in adverse conditions, Wasps.
Do you know what? I'm going to say Gloucester by maybe 2 points.
Well, it's a good test of where Gloucester are, because they are building up a bit of a head of steam.
Just in time for next season.
Yeah,
next season's going to be their year, isn't it? Has to be their year.
Definitely.
London Irish West host London Irish East. at the Rec.
Give me Bath, but it's not going to be pretty.
Bath are playing slightly more agricultural rugby than they were previously. I think they'll be okay.
I love the tweet from the fake Bruce Craig Twitter account, which said, "That's it, I've made a decision about where we need to go as a club, and next season I'm bringing back cheerleaders."
Oh, good.
Yes.
They're not really, though, are they?
No, they're not.
That'd be so far below Bath.
Did either of you see any of the pre-match entertainment from the Super Rugby games?
No,
I only saw the Sun Wolves, which was predictably
Crack Foxes.
That's the mascot,
a bizarre looking mascot.
No, it's just some men in kind of traditional masks. I assume they're traditional spirit demon masks playing drums.
No idea.
And then the Crusaders.
They have horses, don't they?
They do.
Horses.
Yeah. They've got like a papier-mâché castle in one of the corners.
Yeah. New Zealand has...
They ride out on horses.
New Zealand has no history of castles and no history of invading the Middle East. I don't know why they think Crusaders is a good idea.
Final game on Saturday.
Yeah, Saracens, Northampton. Another really interesting one. Northampton, without losing many big players and hitting some form.
Yeah, this will be a very good game. I'd go for Saracens at home, but I think this will be a really good one to watch.
Saracens for me. I think...
Do you know what? I'm going to go Northampton.
Good odds on that.
Oh, no, because will they not have their... Will Jamie George and players like that be able to go back?
They'll be able to go back. Whether they play or not is a different matter.
Jamie George probably will do. The guys who haven't played 60-plus minutes will probably go back. But that's not too many for Saracens.
No, it's not.
They're not going to get Owen Farrell.
They definitely won't get Billy or Aaron.
Have they got any other internationals who have to play?
Duncan Taylor.
Duncan Taylor's it, yeah.
What the heck? I'm going to say Northampton. Sneak it.
I think Saracens. I think things again. I think things will start getting very serious at Saracens now, because if you ever around that squad, they all seem very jovial, very relaxed. But that's because they're winning.
Yeah.
When they're not winning, I bet it gets very serious.
And they won't be allowed to enjoy New York if they haven't got a win on the road.
Oh, damn right.
Oh, God,
damn
we need them to win.
Yeah. Exactly.
Pro 12, Leinster Ospreys. Quite an interesting matchup. This could be the one you watch, JB.
I doubt it.
Yeah. Both missing a few players.
I'm not watching any Pro 12 until I have
Leinster at home.
Give me Leinster.
I'll go Leinster. And Munster Dragons.
Munster, but it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, Munster. On to Sunday then, and the rest of the fixtures are starting in the Aviva Premiership. Leicester, Exeter.
Ooh. Ah, that's not easy. Well, I think Exeter...
Leicester North and Leicester South.
Well, quite. I think Leicester have... Sorry, Exeter have all the players needed to unpick Leicester because of the old boy network.
I'm going to say Leicester.
I'm going to say Leicester at home.
I'm going to say Exeter. Yeah, definitely, actually.
Some really tough to call games. And then Glasgow Blues.
Just a matter of interest before we move on. Have Leicester got their fly-half options up and running again?
I don't think Williams.
Williams, no.
Williams is available yet.
Freddie Burns is back, isn't he?
Burns is okay.
But after that, it goes on to Bryant's.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Glasgow Blues, last game of the weekend.
Give me Glasgow at home.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to do something. Rather than starting with it, I will end with it. I meant to do a Who Am I? Where a little game to finish.
Well, hang on, we need a real sharp finish, if you know what I mean.
Oh, we do need a very sharp finish. Quick reminder, if you've listened this far, you know what? You've well done, because you're about to get an amazing deal. We are in partnership with Cornerstone, who do a mail order shaving service, which we all use, and which many of our fellow egg chasers we've learnt from Cornerstone have signed up for. And that's because we've got a fantastic...
Loads of people have signed up.
Yeah, they have.
Loads.
Thank you.
And you all seem very, very happy with it.
And that's because they've got a fantastic deal, which is £10 off your first order if you go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers to get your engraved metal handle to go with those German precision engineered razor blades, which won the GQ Razor of the Year, beating Wilkinson Sword and Gillette. £10 off your first order. It's mail order, which is a new way of doing it. Go and have a look. We really like the service. We think you will as well, and that's why we managed to get you £10 off.
That was smooth, Tim, just like my face.
cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers.
Oh, it is smooth, Jay.
Thanks, Phil.
Beautiful. Oh, and another mention that we need you to get in touch. If you're out in New York for the Saracens London Irish game, or you're in New York because you live in New York, or you're going to New York because your missus is dragging you there on a shopping trip.
Or you're just passing through.
Yeah. Or you hear this pod and you think, oh, New York, I'll quite fancy going to New
Where's
York.
Where's that?
If you're going to be in New York next week, we're going to be there all together. We'll be doing some podcast stuff out there. We'll be watching the Rugby Six Nations, and we'll be going to the Saracens London Irish game. At Rugby Podcast, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We'll try and organise, and we'll keep your eyes on our Twitter account for where we'll be drinking and watching rugby and all the rest of it.
And we will also be wearing these lovely Saracens Fez Boys shirts, which were kindly donated to us by Premium Force.
Thank you, Premium Force. I probably won't be. My brother plays for London Irish.
How are you going to?
Me and Jay will be supporting Jacques.
Fine.
Yeah. So that's that came from a friend of the show now, Mark Townsend. And it's really nice to have these little things because, yeah, of course, you know, we have the lifestyle, the girls, the drugs, and all the rest of it. But actually, occasionally, a nice shirt makes it all worthwhile.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right. So at Rugby Podcast, get in touch with us on Twitter, subscribe on iTunes and on Acast, and leave your reviews on iTunes. Final game, then play along as you're listening. So I've got the Wikipedia page of a rugby player, and it's whoever can get the name of them first. The difference is, though, if you're brave enough to buzz in early, you might get it right. But if you get it wrong, you hand control over to the other person until they have a guess. So I am a 41-year-old retired rugby union, ex-Irish international, born in Tipperary. I went to Setanta College for university. I play in the back row. I amassed 27 caps and scored 6 tries for Ireland in a 9-year career between 1999 and 2008. Oh, JB almost went for it. Okay.
Waiting for Phil. Mm. Waiting for Phil. I've got two.
I'm married to a model.
No. Simon Easterby.
It's not Simon Easterby. And Sarah Elgan would slap you if she was here, because she's not a model. She is a broadcaster.
But she's a very beautiful lady.
Well, that is secondary to the genuine and deep knowledge and understanding
actually,
she has of the game of rugby.
But she could easily do that. She could easily, you know.
Who else is married to a model?
I wrote an autobiography in 2010. I'm a big golf fan. I support Liverpool.
That doesn't help me.
Nope.
After retirement, I was a co-commentator during the 2011 Rugby World Cup. I regularly commentate on RTE and Sky Sports.
I know exactly what it is
you
now.
Can't say.
I'm sure I do.
I was named in the squad for the 2009
yes.
Lions Tour
yes.
of South Africa.
Yes.
Are you going to guess now or are you going to wait?
Alan Quinlan.
Yes, it was Alan Quinlan.
Damn yes. It. Actually, I would have got it wrong. I was thinking of the guy that looks like a scarecrow. What's his name? On Sky. The Irish fella.
I don't want to answer that. Again, it's offensive. Other Irish people that appear are Paul Wallace.
Not Paul Wallace. I'm sure he's... he's
looks like a scarecrow.
Yeah, he's a back rower. You'll know exactly as soon as... I'm sure he's a back rower. Let's look him up.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But Alan Quinlan, I was about to go on and say I was named in the 2009
yes.
Lions squad, but missed out after I was cited for gouging.
Yeah, I remember.
Leo Cullen.
He was a surprise call-up, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Oh, on the one thing we haven't talked about, and it's not to do with domestic rugby, but as we've just mentioned, an eye gouging thing. There was a massive reaction on our Twitter account to Mike Brown not being cited by the citing commissioners for making contact with Conor Murray's eye with his boot during the England-Ireland match.
Yes, it's an interesting one, this.
We got a big response because I tweeted out after we spoke about it and I said, do you know what? We agree with the citing commissioners. We think it was an accident and you can't suspend guys for accidentally injuring someone through perfectly legal fair play. The counter-argument is mainly it was reckless.
Yes. Now, I was kind of verging on the... It was clearly accidental, but an action is an action. And if you say, for example, if someone's jumping into the air and you make contact with them and they fall and land on their head, then that is a red card, whether it's intentional or not. However, the laws for rucking do actually mention intent.
They do, exactly
so
right.
16.3F says a player...
Oh, I love it, Phil.
A player rucking for the ball must not intentionally ruck players on the ground. Therefore, the citing commissioner and the referee were trying to determine intent. There was none. Therefore, Mike Brown was cleared.
Yes. So, if you have a problem with the decision and the citing and of the TMO and the referees and the citing commissioner, then your issue is not with Mike Brown, and he's been getting a lot of flack on Twitter
yes.
today. I have to say, overwhelmingly from people who are Irish. Just an observation. Not suggesting it's sour grapes, but there seems to be a high proportion of Irish men, women, and children who have a problem with Mike Brown. But no, your issue is not with Mike Brown. It is with World Rugby and their laws.
And I would argue this is actually an inconsistent law because it doesn't necessarily... it's not necessarily in line with some of the other laws of the game.
Yeah,
where intent does not come into it.
Yeah, the phrase duty of care...
Yes. Don't mention that phrase. I hate that phrase.
No, I know, but that is mentioned in relation to players when they're
absolutely
in the air.
Nonsense.
You have a duty of care when you tackle...
But only to the opposition, not to your own, not to your mates.
Well, yeah, but... There you go. Duty of care is irrelevant in this because, like you say, intent has to be clear. And it was clearly not an intentional
Definitely
contact.
Not.
So some
Definitely.
People, anyone who describes it as a stamp on Conor Murray or that he kicked Conor Murray, just no, absolutely
no.
Not.
He was being dragged off the ball by one of the Irish players. There was no intent there at all. However, if the law was makes contact with a head... regardless of intention, then I would say Mike Brown should have been penalised and should have been cited.
Joe Schmidt, after the game, said that he thinks World Rugby need to look at the whole area of players kicking the ball in a ruck.
Wrong.
I mean, his own player, who was the open side, did it a few times during the game and did it effectively.
Van der Fleer
did it a few times and he wouldn't have been complaining about that. But it is a tactic that a lot of people use, trying to kick the ball out. It's legitimate as the within the laws now. Maybe it's something you need to...
I did see a few people mention that if Conor Murray hadn't... So he placed the ball
back.
And then when he saw Mike Brown was going to kick it away...
He hugged it back under
under
his chin.
Which you mentioned yesterday, Tim. Yeah, I don't like that argument, but it is true if he hasn't been cheating...
JB is just glossed over and isn't interested because he just wants to let the boys play.
I'm exactly right.
I'm surprised we didn't hear more from you when the duty of care was mentioned.
I get so angry. it's not worth me piping up because I'll add nothing to the conversation.
This is the influence of a child on JB. He's changed. He's zen now.
Wait. I think I might have the guy.
The guy?
The scarecrow.
You're talking about what was the guy's name? The actor Cillian Murphy in Batman. Oh.
Tyrone Howe. There we are.
Tyrone Howe. Tyrone Howe. Little fact about Tyrone Howe. I played with Tyrone Howe at Newbury Rugby Club.
How
did you?
I was. No, he was in the
banter. Tyrone Howe's a winger.
He was in the Newbury Rugby team when we were in National One, and I was sort of coming through into the first team. So I was training with Tyrone Howe. And then about a year later, so he went from Newbury to the British and Irish Lions within the space of about a year. It was an incredible...
Here's a picture of Tyrone Howe. Pretty scarecrowy.
I don't agree. I think
disagree. Dare you.
Semi scarecrow.
He's Wurzel Gummidge.
He looks like...
Not. I'll tell you who looks like a scarecrow at the moment. René Ranger. Did you see him on Friday morning?
Yeah. No.
Oh, my God.
Crack Fox.
Yes, exactly. Like a huge beard, like hair past his shoulders, like a bird's nest haircut.
I'm looking now. Oh, my goodness.
Let's have a look at René Ranger.
That's fairly recently. I think even that is a little while ago.
That's like Forrest Gump at the end of his run.
Yeah, basically.
Wow. And with Ready Ranger's beard, we will leave it there. So next week we'll only have one podcast, and that will be looking back at all the domestic rugby and looking ahead to the Six Nations. Two podcasts this week. If you missed the Six Nations one, download that. Thank you for listening to this one.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
And we will see you next time. Top work, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
Nice one, Phil.
Thank you, Tim.
Laters.